Would you introduce yourselves, please?
My name is Billy. I play guitar and I sing in the Chicago-based band The Kickback.
My name is Eamon, and I also play bass, and I happen to be in The Kickback as well.
So let's see. Am I supposed to say Vermillion or Vermillion? Vermillion. No, I like Vermillion.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
South Dakota. There's an Enron scandal in the mix. There's college. There's escape. There's the big city. So I want you to fill in some blanks, but I've filled in the bio. Vermillion, South Dakota was a place that you wanted to escape to a big city, or maybe you just said, playing for six people in Vermillion in the Vermillion tavern, bar, lodge, whatever, isn't quite the way to go.
When you talk about revisionist history, we're constantly just chopping a few years off the back end always, because you don't want to be the band that's been around forever. Or seemingly been around forever. If you have lineup changes, if you want to talk some like behind the curtain stuff, every time you add a new member, you basically need to delete your 3 years off your former past. I moved from sunny Vermillion, South Dakota, which I know you're familiar with, in 2009. My whole band at that time was living in a farmhouse where the landowners had pigs that would occasionally get out, and there were literally two occasions where we pulled up for band practice and couldn't get out of our cars because pigs were attacking our cars.
Pigs Attack, I love that movie.
Yeah, and these pigs were not well-humored at all. You usually hear about pigs being really great hangout buddies, but these were not. But I moved to Chicago in 2009, at the end of 2009, and started posting pretty specific Craigslist ads looking for I wasn't murdered or tied up or kidnapped, so I think I'm one of the eight people who's gotten some good use out of Craigslist. But that's where I found Eamon can probably pick up from there.
Okay, Eamon, did he get good use out of Craigslist?
I would say he got his like good bang for the buck. Yeah, I had a couple poor experiences in looking for a band to play with, which I won't go into too much detail, but let's just say that The Kickback was the last straw. It was gonna like make or break. I wouldn't be here if this guy hadn't put up such a specific Craigslist ad, to be honest. So
give me an example of a specific Craigslist ad.
I remember more the one that Johnny responded to more, which was, "You love your tone. You can talk at length about your tone. You don't have ear gauges, those big things that make your earlobes giant."
Is that what they're called?
Yeah, they're called gauges.
My daughter always asks. I
just call them like ear discs. If you play a 7-string guitar or a Mesa Boogie rectifier, we probably don't need to go any further. Yeah. And I got a lot of flack for those ads. A lot of people got very insulted, which I completely understand. It was sort of a highfalutin, vaguely condescending ad. But luckily, that's how I found Johnny. And I think the one for Eamon was pretty similar. So if you post an ad looking for a guitar player, you're literally going to get anybody that's played a guitar or picked one up one time in your life. So we figured out you kind of have to be, you need to ask for what you want.
Obsession with the Enron scandal, or just a quick good name for a band, because I'll bet you 9.75, and that's an exact number, by the way, because I did the statistics this morning, have no idea that that's what the band is named after. They're just probably like, oh, maybe it's like after their drummer and the way they like the kick drum, but they didn't get kick drum right.
Yeah. I just started school and I was taking your sort of mandatory introduction to criminal justice exam, because everybody thinks they're going to go be a criminal prosecutor or a that's every co-ed you meet. You have a 10-minute conversation about how they're going to prosecute everyone in the world. But there's a little blurb in our book about the Enron scandal, and I for some reason was really interested in that one. But it just mentioned that a lot of the top CEOs had been receiving kickbacks, and it seemed like a really good band name. But for some reason, it's almost impossible for venues or anybody who's seeing us to get right. We're either like, they just say the kickbacks. They like to pluralize everything. I don't know if pluralization is something that's come into fashion recently, but it's a lot harder than you might think. They'll separate the words. We've been kickball before. We showed up to a venue with the kick brick. Despite our posters being up, they wrote tonight the kick brick in on a chalkboard outside the venue. So it seems like a pretty easy name, but it turns out it's a lot like math.
So moving to Chicago, right? You finished college in Vermilion. Yeah, but I want to play music. And then you moved to the big city. Now, at least you moved to a friendly big city.
We had toured a little bit in South Dakota on all of our breaks, winter break or spring break. So we'd been around a little bit, and Brooklyn scared me and just seemed not... Either Brooklyn or Portland or L.A., which is where kind of musicians tend to go, nobody there seemed to really have kind of that Midwestern, humble, apologize for everything, and, you know, just sort of bootstrap mentality that I was kind of used to being around. And Chicago was kind of the one place that still felt vaguely Midwestern because it's Midwestern. and so... At least right out of college, I was terrified. I'm from a town of 2,000 people, so anywhere seemed really scary, but Chicago kind of seemed the least scary despite bodies being dropped there daily and en masse.
So everybody's got their story, but, you know, sending something to the spoon guy, I like doing that, the spoon guy, but also, did you take advantage of the whole thing? Let's get geeky for a second. Did you do the whole live on tape thing?
We kind of, I think, have developed a reputation as sort of a live act, and so I think it was important to Jim. He came to Chicago and just sort of sat in our rehearsal room before we went down to record and just watched us go through songs, and kind of came to the conclusion that we needed to play together, at least for the basic tracks, and so we all played in a room together and recorded a majority of the album that way. And while that was going on, my brother and I would be upstairs in what was deemed keyboard world. After the basic tracks were done, he and I would just sit upstairs endlessly surrounded by synthesizers and the most amazing equipment you've ever found, and just would spend endless hours tinkering, trying to find the exact right song for this 3-second blip in a song. But Public Hi-Fi is amazing. I wish we could record there forever, endlessly.
But, you know, it's a grind, right? It's hard work. You're here. You're playing these shows, right? And, you know, in Chicago, you play in front of big, you know, bigger crowds. You know, that moment of the break thing, do you talk about it? Or is it just kind of like, you know what, we're smart guys. We went to college. Someday, if this doesn't work, we'll just become, no, we probably won't.
I mean, I think we figured out a couple years ago, it's like we weren't going to be that band that you read about on some hip internet blog, and you're the next, like, overnight sensation kind of deal. Yeah, but, I mean, this is the only way we know how to do it, where it's just like, if we're not driving at least 7 hours a day to get to a show, then we feel like, you know, we're missing out on something or we're not doing something right. So, I mean, we've been doing this for so long. And, you know, even though it's been slow, you know, we've been able to see steady growth, and we've been able to see things come to fruition that have been sort of like long-term goals. And so it's been, you know, it's been worth it. You know, there's been an end game to it all, which has been good to see.
Okay, we got to do these two just because it's so easy. Living like Dale Cooper. When you're performing, and I saw you for the first time last night, but I had been forewarned and had seen videos, is who the band really is. And that this, you know, when you were saying about, well, you're not going to be the next Teen Idols, the problem is you're bringing intelligence to this. You're actually, to a certain extent, when I say intelligence, not like, you know, erudite, whatever, but you're giving people a show. So living like Dale Cooper, how does that relate to giving people a show?
Dale Cooper's he's a special FBI agent from the television show Twin Peaks, which was kind of a short-lived show in the early 90s that made a late 80s, early 90s, it made a really big impact, I think, on a lot of people, yeah. Regardless of generations. Yeah, a lot of weird people. And as soon as I graduated from college, I was getting ready to move to Chicago, and I kind of had a minor meltdown. I was back living with my parents for a few months just trying to save money, and decided that if I just tried to structure my life after all the things that Dale Cooper espouses on the show, that I might be able to kind of get my life together.
Dale Cooper mantra.
Yeah, Dale Cooper mantra. But as it turns out, like, being the like world's best person, which I kind of think he is actually incredibly difficult. And trying to monitor yourself every day to be like Dale Cooper is incredibly exhausting when you're sort of endlessly negative like I am. I think there's a lot you can take from Dale Cooper, and we run into a lot of bands. It seems like every band these days has a Twin Peaks reference song, and we just want ours to be the best because I want to win.
Was Sting really a teacher?
Yes, he was. Gordon Summers.
Yeah, what did he teach? See, this is great. I'm learning stuff.
English, I want to say.
He was at a boys' school. Wow, I don't even have to go any further on that. I just learned. Okay, so again, I'm not being pithy here. The intro's pithy as opposed to being pissy. When you get up there and you're introducing the songs, is it different every time, or do you have shtick, or do you just improv that?
I live in like perpetual fear of repeating myself. You do not want to be that guy that somebody has come.
Same intro in Vegas every time.
Yeah, where somebody has seen you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is our song about
cheese. Yeah. Oh God. So, I mean, you can only introduce a song so many ways, but I try and come from it as many ways as I possibly can, because there's nothing worse that I can really imagine than just being that guy.
The robot.
Yeah, who says the same.
Wayne Newton in Vegas.
I'd heard a story about Paul McCartney, I read it in a book called You Don't Give Me Your Money, about the breakup of the Beatles, where Paul McCartney is so hands-on that he actually structures even his like joking asides before he goes on stage. So he has a script, even if it sounds thrown away and like some vague city like local reference, he works on it before he goes out, which is incredibly professional. And Paul McCartney has done way cooler. Yeah, he's done all right for himself. But I can't and I won't live that way, for better or worse, if that makes sense.
Where is that balance where you just said, you know, this has got to be fun and you're doing the podcast and all that, but I mean, you guys, obviously, this is your career, this is what you're doing, you're not going home and you know, and milking cows and stuff. You're, well, you might be, I don't know.
Well, it's been a slow process of just trying to learn how to be grown-ups and trying to approach this thing like the business that it should be. You know, we still have trouble marking how much merch we sold at the end of a show, like just keeping track of, you know, like what we sold. But, you know, we're getting there. It's a work in progress. But I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things that it's taken a while for us to learn, but you have to learn how to do both. You have to have something substantial, but you also have to find a way to make it relatable and entertaining for people who are watching.
So Howie, the tour manager, is he as good as he says he is?
Yeah, he's thorough.
How long has Howie been with you?
Howie's been with us, I think, since 2012 or 2013. Howie, to a lot of people, appears to be a puppet, possibly worked by somebody in the band. But I give no credence to that. Howie tends to be a lot of pent-up feelings about touring that I think everybody in the band feels, but you can't really say out loud. And maybe sounds a little bit funnier coming out of a deranged and endlessly angry hand puppet. So he gets the job done. He sells the merch, and he keeps us on time.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs is the bread, and then songs by others in between.